Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 4. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. The just shall live, sustain his life by his faith. That statement is repeated three other times in the New Testament. This is the one time it appears in the Old Testament. We have that same statement in Romans chapter 1, verse 17, Galatians 3, 11, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38. The just shall live by his faith, sustain his life, not by his wits, not by his employer, by his faith. Your faith was given to you to live by, and so was mine. And your faith is the force that can overcome anything. That's our founding scripture. Let's go and read it this morning. Look at 1 John. Your faith is given to you. It's the master key that opens every door you want opened and locks every door you want locked. Every door you'd like to have open, this is the master key. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. For whatsoever is born of God. It didn't say whosoever. Whatsoever. What is this talking about? Faith. Your faith is born of God. For you are saved by grace through faith, and that not of yourself. So whatsoever is born of God, because this is the faith of God, it will overcome anything. In other words, it's good, it's deficient, it is powerful, it is full of force, it can do anything God can do. Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory. This is the victory. This is it. Not what your expert told you. Not what you think. This is the victory. This is it. Ooh, glory. And this is the victory that overcomes the world. What does that mean? Any challenge that you come up against. Any challenge of whatever kind and source and origination by whoever or whatever. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Amen. That's why the Bible says the just shall live by his faith. And so we talked about faith, levels of faith, no faith, little faith, weak faith, great faith. Great faith is where we're supposed to be at. Keep coming up to the level and stay put at great faith. And we said to walk in great faith. You have to feed it. You have to feed your faith every day. Every day. Not every other day. Unless you don't want the victory every day. Amen? If you want the victory that overcomes the world every day, feed your faith every day. Then we said you have to exercise it. Put it to work. Don't put just your wits to work every day. Your brain to work. Faith is also like a servant. It's a force that can be deployed. Deploy it every day. Don't go out. Don't leave home without it. Amen. Deploy it in every arena of life. It is good for every arena of life. It's accepted. You know, like they talk about Visa and MasterCard accepted everywhere. This faith. Woo, glory. I'm teaching me happy. It's accepted and will work in every arena of life. Every arena. It will work in your emotions. It will work in your money situation. It will work in your family, your health, your work situation, your business. You name it. It will work. It is the victory that will overcome every situation. So we said exercise it. Don't get to where, like I've said many times, it bears repeating. Don't get to where you are, you know, you're just living your life
without needing quote-unquote faith.
Hmm? Meaning, you know, you got things set up. You know you how your money's going to come and this is that and this is that. And so you're just kind of cruising. Mm. Dangerous, dangerous, dangerous. Mm-hmm. Because it's a matter of when, not if. The devil, you got an enemy. He's watching you. Huh? And he's going to bring some attack. And then you're going to want to go and take your shield of faith and dust it. You don't want to do that. And sharpen it first before you can use it. No, you don't want to do that. You want it in use every day so it's already oiled and ready to go.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hmm. All right. So we said you should feed your faith every day with the word. You should exercise it, put it to work every day, deploy it every day. And then we say you should live by the substance that brings the faith to you. You should live by the word. Let the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word. Let that word govern your life. Hallelujah. Let it be your manual for life. As it naturally feeds your faith, likewise, let it be the manual of your life. Govern your life. Do your very best to run your life. Run the affairs of your life according to Bible principles. Be a word man. Be that easier for the word to feed your faith and for you then to use it. So, how do you be a word man? Galatians 5:22. The fruit of the Spirit is love. And joy and peace, long suffering or patience, and goodness and gentleness, and so on. Live by those principles. If you do, you are a word man, word woman. So we talked about love. Amen. Love, faith works by love. So without love, faith won't work. How do you walk in love? Refuse to hold grudges. Forgive people. Forgive institutions. Quick, don't harbor unforgiveness. Okay, let me. I went over this notes this more that this week, and I got some statements I'd like to read to you, which will shed a little more light into what we've already talked about. So we said, walk in love, refuse unforgiveness and strife. We said, walk in joy, refuse depression and sorrow. Because these things will counter your faith. They will emaciate your faith, make it less than effective. Huh? If you walk in unforgiveness, and you walk in strife, it will neutralize your faith. So, if you walk in depression and sorrow, your faith is not strong because the joy of the Lord is your strength. Okay? And then we talked about walking in peace. Refuse the cares of this world. Cast them on the Lord. He will gladly take them off your hands. Amen. He will gladly take them off your hands. Refuse the cares of this world. We talked about walking in patience. Refuse to quit. Refuse to quit. When you set your faith at a project, don't pull it back. Keep it on it. Keep it on it. It will work it out. Refuse to quit. Refuse to quit on your family, on your money, on your health. Refuse to think, oh, well, you know, I suppose this is the way it's supposed to be. No. Unless the way it is the way the Bible says it's supposed to be. You know how it's fashionable these days to say, it is what it is. That better not be your philosophy. It is not what it is. It is what I say it is.
Amen.
And I say it is according to the word.
Amen.
Be it done unto me according to your word. No, it is what it is. That's such a fatalistic view of life.
Mm-hmm.
Can't help it. Whatever it's going to be, it's going to be. Que sera, sera. No. Not in the life of a child of God. If you dare to speak the word of God over that situation, it's got to change. If it doesn't change, God is a liar. And the Bible says, let every man be a liar. This word. Ooh, glory.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
So, refuse to quit. Refuse to quit. Okay. So, let's talk about gentleness. Walk in gentleness. Let me tell you the end result, and we may say this again and again and again, because remember now, teaching is repetition until learning takes place. So here is the bottom line of gentleness. If you walk in gentleness, you will lessen the load on your faith. You will lessen the load on your faith. You don't want any unnecessary load on your faith. You have enough for your faith to deal with without adding some extra stuff. Walking in gentleness will help you to avoid unnecessary crises. Because you see, when crisis shows up, you want to use your faith to get rid of it. But if you avoid unnecessary crisis to begin with, then there's less for your faith to deal with. You have less of a, you have more of a target. Your faith doesn't have to be scattered all over this and this and this and this and this and that. You can bring that much amount of faith and bore it and narrow it to a few things. Work more effectively, have a better chance of making it work. Hallelujah. Okay, so what's the Bible, the dictionary definition of gentle? Gentle is having or showing a kind and quiet nature. Having or showing a kind and quiet nature. That this is not to talk about, this is not, this is, slow down. When I talk about being shy, quiet is not shy. Why not? Because shy is a spirit of fear in camouflage. The spirit of fear in camouflage. Shy is fear masquerading as something else. Shy of people. Shy. No. So quiet doesn't mean shy. The spirit of fear can masquerade as shy, and we must avoid that. Here are some other things the spirit of fear can masquerade as. Timidity. Timid. Embarrassed. What does it mean when you're embarrassed? You care too much about the opinion of people, what they think. Such as someone was embarrassing. Have you ever been embarrassed when you're all by yourself? People, what they think. How they judge you, what they think of you, of your performance, or your clothes, or whatever it was. Shame. That's a part of the spirit of fear. So quiet is not someone who's withdrawn and all this stuff. Let me give a couple others. Folks who can't say no. It's fear. Because you want the approval of so many folks that you overload yourself. You don't want to say no to anybody. That's fear. Folks who don't like to confront people. You loathe to have to confront anybody. You loathe to have to talk about anything unpleasant that needs to be talked about. Not in any accusatory manner, but you know, some stuff got to be dealt with. Yeah. Got to talk about this. What's up? You know? Fear. So when we say quiet, we don't mean someone so quiet that they won't talk about stuff need to be talked about. Yeah. Amen. All right, you got that. All right, so gentle is having or showing a kind and quiet nature. Look at 2 Timothy 1. We talk about gentleness. How that, like I said, I told you earlier, I'm going to repeat it many times, so you get in your spirit. Gentleness will help you lessen the load on your faith. You know, the airline business, there was a suggestion that perhaps they ought to start charging people by how much they weigh. Like freight. Because they said, you know, the weight on the airplane burns more fuel, which costs more money. So if you contribute more to that, you should pay more. Made sense. Because they wanted to lessen the load. Either we lessen the load or you pay extra to compensate for the extra load. You don't want to do anything that increases the load on your faith. It's got enough challenges. All right, what does the 2 Timothy? Look at chapter 1. So, gentle, quiet. But quiet is not, you're not quiet because you're afraid. That's the point I'm trying to make. Okay? 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us the spirit of fear. Notice it calls it a spirit, not just an emotion. Did you know fear is not an emotion? Did you know fear can be present when the emotion of fright is not present? Just because you're not frightened doesn't mean fear is not present. It is a spirit. Has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. All of those three things combat fear. Power, when you're afraid you're weak. Love casts out all fear. Perfect love casts out all fear. A sound mind. So much of the time, fear doesn't even make sense. So all those three things combat fear. But, look at verse 8. Be not therefore ashamed. See? So it connects fear to shame. God has not given us a spirit of fear, or power, love, and a sound. Be not therefore, since God has not given you that spirit that causes shame, be not therefore ashamed. This is why we know that shame is a part of fear. All right, so gentleness, having or showing a kind and quiet nature. Not quiet because you're afraid to talk or you're afraid to... not that, okay? All right. Here's something else. Gentleness is not harsh or violent in effect or quality. Not harsh or violent in effect or quality. When you're not harsh or violent in effect or quality, you disinvite retaliation. When you treat people harshly and violently, they are motivated to retaliate. And before you know it, one of the things that will happen is you're in big strife now. You're in big strife. Look at Proverbs 15. Not harsh. Proverbs 15. Look at verse 1. A soft answer turneth away wrath, Now, soft is not soft as in weakness. A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. If you're not gentle, you stir anger in people. And you create issues with people. Issues that you now have to have your faith to deal with, to handle. Therefore, putting a load on your faith. When you need your faith to be dealing with the money situation. And the health situation. You don't want to be using your faith to get along with people. I mean, you don't want any extra effort in that direction. You want all your faith concentrated to deal with the stuff that you really want. But if you're harsh, you're not gentle, you're violent, all of that, it stirs up a reaction from people, and you find yourself in the midst of a situation that you have your faith has to use to attack. And it's often not easy to entangle yourself from that. So if you're just gentle to begin with, you don't have to deal with that. Now you got your faith targeted on some important stuff. Gentleness. A soft anger turneth away wrath. Grievous words stir up anger. A soft answer. I remember, because you know we were foster parents, like I've always said, fostering is one of the best things I've ever done in my life. It is, without a doubt. Other than preaching and sharing the gospel, I don't know anything that compares to it. I mean, to make a difference in the life of a child who knows, some of them, next to nothing about normality, about a normal family. I mean, about the fact that you get to eat and nobody's going to kick you around and slap you upside the head every time you say something wrong and you spill milk and they're going to slap you. You know, just those basic things that most of us take for granted. To reorient a child's life, put him in the right direction. I remember this one child, came to live with us. First day in school, teacher's called. Who have we got here? I said, give me the phone. And the issue was resolved. Amen. To have that kind of an impact. And I didn't threaten him or nothing like that. I guess wanted a familiar voice, because, I mean, this kid's been taken from his home, put in a different home. Now it's in this school he's never been to before. You know, it's like life is, what's going on, you know? It really, truly is. Really, truly is. It wasn't easy. It was tough, right? And you know, have you ever had a five-year-old kid cuss you out? I mean, it's one thing to be cussed by an adult, but when a five-year-old cusses you out, it hurts like you would. It really hurts. But part of what we're taught as foster parents was to de-escalate stuff, not escalate. Easier said than done.
Yeah.
But that's the trick, right? So if a child did something and you gave them a consequence and they started talking about, I hate you, and I'm suddenly cussing you out, you were supposed to say something like, I'm going to give myself a time out, take yourself out of the situation. Gentle. Amen. And I assume that they don't know what they're talking about. When a child said, I'm going to call my caseworker and be removed from this blackity-black house. They were supposed to say something like, okay, if that's what you want to do, what you want to say is, here's the phone. Call them right now and get out of my... Yeah. Right? You're supposed to... You want to fight fire with fire. But what happens if there's fire, put more fire on it? It gets worse, right? Instead of firing fire with water. That's gentle. Turns A soft answer turns away wrath. Yeah, it was tough, but it was rewarding to see some of these kids. Not all of them. Some of them, not even Jesus could foster them. I don't think. Some of them kids, because and not necessarily for out of their fault, but you know they've been messed up, or you've been kicked around and abused by people that say they love you and they're. Parents and so on, you can't be really messed up in your mind. And so that's kind of what we're talking about. To be gentle, to turn away wrath with a soft answer, soft response. You de-escalate the situation. You have less to deal with. If you respond in kind, now you are in a whirlwind of the self. The devil has got the situation going, and it's going to take a lot more to entangle out of this. And besides, then you have the memory of it to deal with. All of which constitutes a load on your faith, which you don't want. So gentleness is a real part of walking in faith, not creating extra load for your faith. Gentleness is to be honorable. This is where we get the term gentleman and lady. There's a difference between a gentleman and a man, a lady and a woman. I mean, we use it without really, you know, walk into a room and you say, ladies and gentlemen. Well, some of those men say now they are not really gentlemen. Some of those women you're talking about are not really ladies. You're actually speaking in faith, calling those things that are not as though they were. You say that. But really it means a person who acts honorably. A gentleman. Like a gent, like in the old English sense of it. To be honorable, to have integrity, to be of good moral character. To be distinguished. That's what the words gentleman and lady mean. Now, here is how that impacts your faith. When you act honorably, you act in integrity, you have good moral character, you act in a distinguished manner, it opens doors for you. Amen. It invites favors from others. They want to be good to you. Be nice to you. Because you're such an honorable person. You're such a distinguished person. You are a gentleman. You are a lady. Again, lessening the load on your faith. If people have a disposition to be kind and do you favors, you have less to believe God for. Amen. Less for your faith to go after. Because these people want to do good to you anyway. Amen. It opens doors, invites favors. I remember I don't know about you, but and I've experienced it both ways. When we talk about something like a distinguished, we talk about distinguished behavior. Let me think about distinguished vehicles or distinguished car. Before we owned one of those, you know, high expense, right? Dignified, way up there in cost. I used to be predisposed to give people who drive those cars favors on the road. I don't know about you, but you know, I would let him in a lot easier than some other person. It's just something about it. Perhaps I wanted to see the car, be close. Maybe that was the closest I could get to it. To drive us, I'm just, man, that's a fine looking car. Oh my. Why? Why it must feel like to drive a car like that? And you know what? Now that I own one, I know I get those favors.
I know it. I do know.
I know it. Some people are more disposed to let me go in.
Because they're doing exactly what I used to do.
They want to drive behind and admire the car and so on. Amen? I mean, that's a natural, physical, non-material example, but it applies. When you're a distinguished gentleman, a lady, you act, you carry yourself in a certain way, people want to be nice to you. People want to, you know, and the point is, it takes some load off your faith. Now, folks are already predisposed to be nice to you. So gentleness is a real help to faith. Gentleness is suited to a person of high social standard, high social station. Almost like royalty. Amen? Associated with royalty. Whether you talk about the gentry, right? Mm-hmm. The gentry, the, you know, social high class. look at Romans 8. So, if you carry yourself like that, like the royalty that you are, if that's in the back of your thinking, it will in fact help your faith to work more proficiently. Because you will have a sense of entitlement, which you do. Now, nothing wrong with a sense of entitlement until you think that you are entitled for people to do things for you. Now, that's not okay. But if you have a sense of entitlement as coming from God, that's perfectly okay. Perfectly fine. I am royalty. I belong to God. There are certain things that are beneath my dignity. Because I'm a child of the king. Huh? And then, so in that sense, the gentleness, well, let's read the scripture. Look at what that says, Romans 8. Look at verse 17. Well, 16. Verse 16, Romans 8, 16. The Spirit itself, himself, bears witness with our spirits that we are the children of God. It lets us know that we are God's children. And verse 17, and if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with the anointed one, his anointing. Huh? So, if we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus, what would it mean to be an heir of Rockefeller? Oh, man. That entitles you to certain things, does it not? Amen. Huh? To be an heir to the Hilton fortune. An heir to the... what's the Microsoft guy? You know what I'm talking about. Huh? To be an heir to a fortune, it entitles you to certain things. Therefore, if when you think about gentle in that sense, in the sense of royalty, and you keep in the back of your mind, remember now we also talk about the renewing of your mind. You have to renew your mind to these things. So if you renew your mind to the idea of you being royalty, wow, it'll be easier for you to believe for healing. Huh? Because as a member of the royal family, you have a right to be healthy. You have a right to have some money in your pockets. Glory to God. So in that sense, that will help your faith. Heir of God, joining with Jesus. Oh, glory. Here are some dictionary synonyms of the word gentle. Words that mean the same as the word gentle, as found in a dictionary. Non-abrasive. Non-abrasive. Wow. Can you imagine how less problematic your life would be when you're non-abrasive? Huh? You don't have too many, you won't have too many enemies. Huh? Nobody thinks you're a showboat. Non-abrasive. Here's another one. Tender. Soothing. Oh my. Soothing. Which actually means that your faith helps other people. It's not selfish. Huh? It's working on the basis of love. Therefore, it's working more efficiently because faith works by love. Your presence is soothing to other people. Huh? You make a positive difference in the lives of others. When you show up, spirits are lifted. Nobody says, oh, here comes so-and-so. Watch out. Huh? Soothing. Dictionary antonyms. In other words, words that mean the opposite of gentle. Abrasive. Oh my. Caustic. Coarse. C-O-A-R-S-E. Just rough. Rough character. Scathing. Harsh. That does no good to your faith. Now, the Message translation has this translation for the word gentle, which I really like, in Galatians 5:22, where it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, gentleness. Here's the Message translation of that. Quote, not needing to force our way in life. Wow. Not needing, being gentle, gentleness is not needing to force our way in life. Faith is a spiritual force, but not a natural, like we say in Nigerian. There's no gra-gra about it. No helter-skelter. Huh? No going back and forth. It's a gentle, the flow, the natural flow of life. Life of faith. I hope I'm getting this over to you. No to and fro, no busybody. Huh? You're gentle. Your faith works. Why are you so no helter, skelter, skelter? Because God is your handler. God is your agent. God is doing all the negotiations on your behalf. Mm-hmm. He's handling things. Therefore, you don't have to be, helter-skelter, No. Things are under control. Matthew 11:28. You can write it down or turn to it. I'm going to read to you again the Message translation of it. It makes a point about gentleness. Matthew 11:28. Through 30. Are you tired? Are you worn out? Are you burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me, and you will recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. I read all that to get to this point. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. That's gentleness. The unforced rhythms of grace. Where life, your life of faith is flowing without any compulsion, not anything being forced. Think life is just flowing. You get up and it comes with planning, right? Gentleness comes with planning. You got things planned and you just following the plan. Huh? A life of gentleness means, one of the things it means, I'm about to get on your toes here. maybe. If you have them sticking out there, that is. A life of gentleness means
you never are in a hurry. Mm-hmm. Oh, Jesus. Amen? It's just gentle. Nothing is forced, because hurrying is force, is it not? Hurrying suggests, and I've been guilty of this, hurrying suggests that you didn't plan well enough.
Yeah, but unforeseen circumstances, if you plan well enough, you could have made allowance for that too, to some extent. Mm. Should I go over there, Lord? Now, in talking about that, for example, in driving, happens to be one of the things the Lord, like I told you before, it seems like I've seen mostly on the road. I'm getting better with that. I'm getting better with it. But one of the things that the Lord got to me as far as speed limits, did you know that as a child of God, you ought to drive by the speed limit? Amen. I mean, there's a reason for it. The experts have determined this is the safest speed you should drive at. So if I'm driving, you know, I mean, 5 miles back and forth, no big, we're talking about like, you know, you just have a habit of just going somewhere as fast as you can. If you're driving in a manner that is not safe, that's not godly. That's not gentle, certainly. Because you can become a danger to yourself and to other people. God doesn't approve of that. Amen. And the Bible commands us to obey the king. Did you know that? Amen. Obey the king. That is to obey the laws of the government unless they violate Bible principles. And speed limits do not. Speed limits are about safety. Amen. They're about safety. Getting there in one piece. I remember this one time I was speeding, man. Now, if you're speeding and you're going so fast that you overtake a cop and don't even know it. You're going way too fast. And I did. And he stopped me. I'm like, I condemned myself bad. I'm saying, you fool. I mean, you're going so fast you couldn't even look to see the cop so you could slow down? What an idiot. I was getting on myself. You know, because they take their time, right? When they stop, they don't like rush out. They like, they get out and then they're walking quietly, watching you, you know. So he comes out my window and he says, good morning. I didn't feel like answering you. Why in such a hurry? I wanted to argue. I'm not in a hurry. Go ahead, do your job. I wasn't in a hurry. I said, I'm going to teach a class and I'm a little late. So he said, I see. And so he did his thing, wrote it down. And then he didn't give me a ticket, actually. He warned me. But what he said is what I said. I told you that to get to. He says, I think those students will appreciate you getting there in one piece. I said, yes, sir. Come. Yes, sir. Amen. Okay. So that's not being joked. That's forcing things. That means I didn't plan enough. I didn't get ready in enough time, and then. Okay. So then I created a situation myself. Right now I got a car. He might have given me a ticket. Huh? I'm believing money, God for money. Now I got to shell out $250 to pay for the ticket. I don't want to be doing that. Gentleness could have avoided all of that. It's really the bottom line of what we're talking about here. So, the unforced rhythms of grace. Learning to live freely and lightly. Being where I'm supposed to be, at the time I'm supposed to be there, doing what I'm supposed to be doing, and in full protection of God. The rhythms of grace. Look at the 91st Psalm. And given what's been happening lately, here is a big old protection. The protection psalm. Verse 7. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come near thee. A life of a planned, a flowed in the rhythm of grace, was led to go where I was, and God, I walk in the protection of God. There's a shadow everywhere I go, a field of protection around me. Amen. Alright. So gentleness involves planning, it involves decorum. It involves orderliness. Okay? And again, the point is all of these lessen the load on your faith. Gentleness is being considerate, not selfish. You create less enemies to walk this way. Now, some folks are going to constitute an enemy, if nothing else, because we have a devil. But sometimes people create situations for themselves. They create enemies by their own conduct. And what we're saying is a life of gentleness will lead to less enemies for your faith to deal with. Gentleness involves timing and seasons. Having a good sense of timing and seasons. The flow of things. Gentleness is being easygoing. Huh? Easy to be entreated. Placatable. Easy to be placated. You are easy to please. You're not hard, harsh. Easy to please. Easy to resolve differences that come up. If you're easy to please, you have less of an issue. When issues come up, they're more easily resolved. Compared to a situation where, you know, no, you just hold out, and people apologize, but it's still not enough, you know. That won't work too good. Gentleness is getting along with others. All right, I'm about to wrap this up. Look at 2 Timothy. I've tried to teach this without having to finish each segment of this every Sunday, which is why I've been a little longer than usual. But like I said, if you read the Gospels, you will know that Jesus was long-winded at times, right? You remember when he taught until for 3 days, until they were way out in someplace else, nothing to do, no food to eat even, right? And he told the disciples to feed them. They said, "Where can we go to buy food? The folks are starving and all that." Well, that's because he hadn't even given a break to go eat lunch. Certainly Paul was as well. So every now and then, you know. Okay. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 5. "And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully." In this case, we're talking about competition, like in a sporting event. If you break the rules, you don't get the crown. If you are running a race, the athletics, and you're supposed to stay in your lane, and you cross lanes, you may end up in being the first for your chest to hit the tape, but you don't get the crown for that. Gentleness involves not only in what we do, but how we do it. Amen. So it's not only important to do the right thing, but to do it in the right way. Amen. It's not only important to say the right thing, but to say it in the right way. The Bible talks about how that I can speak in tongues and all of that, but if I don't have love, it profits me nothing. So basically, the end does not justify whatever means I employ to get there. That's a big part of gentleness. Okay. Again, bottom line is, walking in gentleness makes sure that I'm not overloading my faith, giving my faith more to do. When I've got these other things, my faith ought to be targeted to try to achieve. I'm causing more issues and bringing more weight on my faith. Walking gentleness will lessen the load of my faith, avoid unnecessary crisis, so my faith can be targeted to achieve those things that, you know, I've already set out to achieve. Amen, 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 amen.